We're going to turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis. We're going to speak today about a very dangerous enemy, our arch nemesis. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. We'll take a very simple, what I consider for me a very simple childhood concept, and try to apply it to our Christian life, helping us understand victory over sin. Genesis chapter number 3, and you all know the story of Adam and Eve. If you don't, it's in the first three chapters of Genesis. And the repercussions of that are being felt even today. Genesis 3, we know, we'll just read from 1 to 10 so we get the context here. The serpent, see that? Was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. There's your first question mark. Pertaining to the word of God. And the woman said, let's just look at that for 1 second. If you simply believe what God says, I believe what God says will erase the question marks in your life. He'll do it by asking you questions. And there's a question we want to answer to help us understand that today, and it's in this passage. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, obviously, from studying the passage in chapter 2, that's not what God said. They kind of changed it. Verse number 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here's the birth of all religions of the world. Good versus evil. And verse number 6, it's spiritual evolution. You shall be as gods. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, see, it was the external. The external concept of what was pleasant that trumped the internal. Because Eden means pleasant. And so she said, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of it. It's not what's on the outside that'll give you joy in a relationship with God. It's what's on the inside. Now, they had to lose that in order to discover that. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. They're both guilty. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So throughout the Bible, the fig has to do with, a profession without possession, so to speak. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I love that verse right there. Mr. Cool's how I like to refer to that. And Adam and his wife, now I want you to see this. Here's a problem right here. They're not facing up to something. They hid themselves. That's what Christians are going to do. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Camouflage. Incognito. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, this is the question that God asked. We're going to take off on. Where art thou? He's talking to Adam. Adam has to answer this. This is that sixth sense that has now been altered. Conscience, we call it. What at one time was love and fellowship with God is now turned into conviction and condemnation. He's afraid. He's afraid God doesn't love him anymore. And he runs to hide. He wants to be accepted. They hid themselves from the presence. What he wants, he runs from. Wonderful God, he comes after us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked. And I hid myself. We got to understand, because before this chapter's over, God has to take him and drive him out of the garden. They're not walking hand in hand, brother. That was a long, long drive. One time they were stationed in that garden estate, nice and comfy and secure. It was a long, long drive, brother. I know it is. God had to drive them out, the Bible says. You know, they say the longest station wagon that's ever been made. You know what that is, Brother Jenny? No, it's the Buick Estate. 231.8 inches, just for the record. Divide that by 12, that's 19.31 inches. I mean feet, rather. That's a long car. There must have been a long distance between those two. As he drove him out, amen? You could just sense it. You ever see some of these rich, rich, rich people sitting on opposite ends of the table? You know, past the salt? Long distance, brother. Thank God he can reach that long distance. He's prepared a table for us, the presence of our enemies. We're going to look at an enemy today that seemingly keeps us from having fellowship with God, so he so desires to restore. He talks about they hid themselves. He says, I hid myself. And God says, where art thou? He's addressing Adam. The 1800s, there was a man called William Covet. He was a writer who's generally attributed with a literary leniency in how he spoke about what's called a red herring. Anybody ever hear of a red herring? It's actually not real. There's not a real red herring. Supposedly addressing something about Napoleon Bonaparte's defeat. And it has to do with taking a herring and either, they call it a kipper, when you when you smoke it. It stinks as it is, but it stinks even more. It's real pungent. And you take it, you rub it on the ground, and it misleads. And it distracts from the relevancy of what your focus at one time was on. It brings you on a rabbit trail. Mm-hmm. It's a red herring. Conventional wisdom, that's what they... it's a diversionary tactic to keep the scent off of what's really hiding. Where art thou? Amen. And I'd like to take off on that because my objective today is to help you identify this. Because I call this message, Where's Waldo? Because that's all that's about. Not being detected. Hiding in the midst. And we're going to look at how this progresses with a comment a little child said one time to their daddy. Why does Waldo always wear striped clothing? Of course, the simple answer goes quite deeper than what might be understood on the surface. He doesn't want to be spotted. Let's understand that a little bit from a biblical perspective. Lord, I pray that you would help us understand this secret, mysterious lie in a book that journeys around the world hiding. Help us detect him in our own lives so that we can be brought back in a fellowship we so long for but are afraid to accept as you desire to give it to us by grace through faith, not the works of the law. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. 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 In the middle 1950s, I just happened to have a book I brought with me today. Is anybody familiar with this? No. Where's Waldo? Now, there's a series of seven of them. I love these books. They're fun. And if I don't wrinkle this, I can return it back to Barnes & Noble. Get my money back. I can really care less about Waldo. But it's a wonderful illustration. Waldo's hidden in this book with the battling monks. Somewhere in this book, Waldo is hidden with the carpet flyers. See, every page in the journey of this life of this fellow called Waldo, he's hidden. This is how your flesh is every day of your life. And the Word of God shines a light to help us detect it. There'll be certain key things you'll begin to recognize. He doesn't want to be spotted. He's in a jail suit because he doesn't want to be spotted. He has to be spotted. Amen? And let God deal with the spots His way. He's at the great ball game with all those players. See that? You go through this and the ferocious red dwarfs. And here's Waldo with the nasty nasties. And you go and the fighting foresters. There's seven of these series. The deep sea divers. Waldo's in here. The Knights of the Magic Flag. And you go through the unfriendly giants. And you go through the underground hunters. And this book ends with the land of Waldo's. Waldo found the 12th scroll and saw that truth about himself. He was just one Waldo among many, he saw.
Wow.
We're going to talk about Waldo. Adam, where art thou? Where's Waldo? Has anybody seen him? Doesn't want to be detected. The man that wrote this book, Martin Hanford, mid-1950s, born in Hampstead, London. As a little child, used to love to draw and was very artistic. He would always draw crowds, so on and so forth. No, he would build. I remember reading him saying he'd build stick figures when he was a little kid. Around the mid-1980s, he was catapulted to fame when he was asked to author and illustrate a children's book, which you see in front of me. Where's Waldo? And the main character, which was supposed to be not the main character, became the main character. Just like in our lives. Amen. And this fellow called Waldo is just a man that's wandering aimlessly on a journey to discover purpose. He has a magical cane and glasses that blend in to everyday life. He's all alone. Eventually other characters come in, and he has a friend called Wilma with a twin called Wenda and magical stick and Woof the dog that you hardly ever see except for his tail. I think he comes out before. So he's got a wizard friend with magic that guides him on his journey to discover, where's Waldo? Wizard Whitebeard. They begin to hide in here too. But he's the main character. Where's Waldo? He's just a nowhere man going nowhere. Amen. Everybody ever hear that song? He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. The Beatles sang that song, didn't they? I think it was an album called The Rubber Album or something like that. Look, he's one in the land of many Waldos, amen? We want to detect him because that's what it's about. That's what God wants you to do. Before God brings you back into fellowship with Him, He shows you yourself. You'll never be saved until you understand you're a sinner. And you'll never really have the sweet fellowship with God He wants you to have in Canaan until you understand sin. It's more than external. It's internal. It's hiding. Waldo's hiding. You need to realize that. You need to understand that. Throughout time and throughout all the lands that Waldo travels, he's always the same. He never really finds his way. Amen? All flesh is grass. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no flesh is different, brother, from anybody's. We're all Waldo's when it comes to our flesh. Call whatever name you want. You know, in Africa they call Waldo Willie. The Danes call him Holger. The Hungarians call him Vile. The romantic French call him Charlie. The Brits call him Wally. That's where it started, and it kind of took the name that became most popular, is Waldo. The Czechs called him Valdik. The Swedes call him Hugo. The Serbs call him Gilly. The Croatians call him Jura. The Germans call him Volta. The Arabs call him Farhui. The Lithuanians call him Jonas. The Chinese call him Wee. Of course, the Italians, I hate to go there, but the Italians call him Ubaldo. I love the Italians, but there's certain things I gotta live with. Amen. And the Japanese call him line with a line going to the left and a longer line horizontal. Now, if my Japanese dinner vocabulary is correct, that means worry. That's exactly what it means. We really want to know Waldo, brother. Well, then let's take Waldo in this land of Waldo where he discovers all flesh is grass. Then Waldo found the 12th scroll and saw the truth about himself, that he was just one Waldo among many. Does it make you feel better that none of us are any different. If you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
Amen? There's no difference. Let's put this book aside and look at this book. I think we'll get a little bit better understanding. Amen? Woe to Adam. Doesn't matter what you call him. Woe to Cain. Where art thou? Waldo's Noah. Waldo's Abraham calls his sister his wife. Noah gets a little bit tipsy. Where's Waldo? Ishmael's Waldo. Jacob's Waldo. Isaac. Deer got a little bit too dear to him, I'd say, amen. Isaac was Waldo. Esau sells his birthright for a pottage. Esau's Waldo. Who wants to be called? Who wants to be thought of as Waldo? Is anybody here called their parent, their children Waldo? You might call a dog Waldo. Amen. Today, I mean, don't. I hope nobody. That's their real name. Amen. You got the Israel sells Joseph into slavery. They're Waldo. David commits adultery. He's Waldo. Daniel has people bow down to him. He's Waldo. Elijah says, "Oh God, I'm Waldo." He's Waldo. Jonah knows God. He knows God, N-O-S. He doesn't want to tell people about God. He's Waldo. Peter denies God. He's Waldo. Judas Iscariot sells out God. He's Waldo. Amen? Paul. Paldo and Saldo. You'll find it in all of them, brother. That it's Waldo. Different version. The same thing. It's very easy to identify flesh in other people. Because we associate sin with outward acts. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a smoker. There's Waldo. Where's Waldo? There he is. See? It's like that's the biggest of sins that God is gets upset about. I don't think so, brother. Mm-hmm. But there's Waldo. It's outward. See? The smoker. The drinker. The overeater, the overtalker, the liar, all the the sinners. Amen. We always associate and identify Waldo with what people do. Amen. We don't recognize that it goes deeper than that. All the different things people can do in their lives to try to make world records and become something or not in a quest for success or purpose or meaning. The Guinness World Book of Records has bizarre records. People, they said the person that had the most snails on his face for 10 seconds had 8 of them. The largest collection of barf bags was 5,568. The man with the longest ear here from India. 7 inches.
Oh.
The most people that brushed their teeth simultaneously in New Delhi, where they probably should have, 177,000. The most eggs a person could crush in 30 seconds, 56. Amen. The longest distance a man was hit by a car and flew through the air. Still living. 180 some odd feet. I forget. So the man that could cycle backwards with a violin for the longest distance. 37 miles. These are bizarre, senseless, meaningless, without purpose, just to occupy your time. Yeah. Brother, that's the life of a man who lives only to his flesh.
Yeah.
Purposeless, meaningless, bizarre interpretations of value. Amen. Where's Waldo? 2nd of April 2009. 1,052 highly educated Rutgers students and alumni got together and made a world record. The most people that could dress like Waldo. Wow, what an accomplishment. It took a few years to beat that. 19 June 2011, 3,872 people get together in Marion Square in Dublin, Ireland. And they all dressed up as Waldo. These are bizarre feats that people do in making themselves feel like they accomplished something. All they're doing is testifying your life is meaningless if you're a Waldo. The flesh has no purpose in glorifying God.
Amen.
And if you live your life thinking it does, someday that book will close just like I did and go on the back burner, and God's going to open it up. Where's Waldo? There he is. Doing nothing. Purposeless. Meaningless. Amen? Wandering. Journeying. Hiding. Running. Confused. Afraid. not approaching God because he thinks he can't be accepted. Amen. When the Bible is just a book to people, you look at sin as external. It goes way deeper than that, brother. Life is transitory. It's fleeting. You're reduced to an insect level. Amen. You're no different than Waldo running around with your outer garments, striped clothing of a jailbird. The Bible just becomes a game. Church just becomes a game. Is that how it is with you? It's just Waldo. It's just, brother, it's just a game. Just occupying your time. Go to church. Got to go to church. Read my Bible. Got to read my Bible. Pray. I got to pray. Where's Waldo? Amen? Brother, if you don't have an active, real life, conscious relationship with God, with His presence on a day by day basis, you're living like Waldo. You absolutely are. Amen? Where's Waldo? There's Waldo. Very easy to see in others, but we need to go further. In the book of Job, chapter 31. You know, the Bible says that your life becomes an epistle written without hands. Do you realize that this book goes deeper than what you see right here? It goes right in here. In Job chapter 31, the Bible said he hid himself. It's internal. Where's Waldo? Well, there's Waldo. We see him all around. We see him all over, meaningless, purposeless. You know? Not wanting to be detected. Well, we're going to detect him in this hide-and-seek game from God, from others, from yourself. And show you that your flesh is what's keeping you from having a closer walk with God. Nothing else. There's no more Jesus Christ can do. Job chapter number 31, he says, and Job, amazing to me how he says this. Job 31 verse 33. Talking, he says, if I covered my transgressions, he talks in the plural, as Adam, by hiding my iniquity, that's singular, in my bosom. Amen. He takes the plural and he brings it deeper and he makes it singular. God uses a distinction between the word sins and sin. Sins are only the fruit of your problems, brother. It's sin that is the root of your problem. This is Waldo. Where's Waldo? There's Waldo. No, 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 no. Here's Waldo. Here's Waldo. Hiding. So that other people don't realize I'm really carnal, sold under sin. Amen. Not wanting to own up to who you really are in God's eyes. Amen. It's a red herring. Camouflaging your true identity. It's not so much to others. It's to yourself. You're hiding. Amen. Finding a way not to be detected. God shows you. He's going to detect you. He's going to bring you out, brother. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in a church where Waldo can't hide? Amen? The Bible calls him the natural man. The carnal man. The old man. The outward man. The body of sin. The first Adam. In Adam all die. He's the flesh versus the spirit. Amen? In every storyline, no different in Waldo, there's two main characters, the antagonist and the protagonist. One is the villain, the other is the hero. And if you have a strong antagonist, you need a much stronger protagonist to get victory. It doesn't matter how strong your flesh is, God is stronger. Amen? That's what you're supposed to be strong in. Strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Amen? To have a successful storyline, any movie you go see, any suspense or villain movie, the hero to be successful, you need a real good character that's the antagonist that demonstrate how much greater the hero is. But every antagonist has a hidden plan. A hidden evil plan. Every antagonist has a hidden me motive. We all do. Every antagonist has a hidden drive fueled usually by something that isn't brought out until later on in the movie. It's disclosed, the light shines. Every antagonist has hidden obstacles in his way and that he puts in the way of the hero. Amen? This is what Waldo's about. He hides so you can't see him. That's what you're going to do in a relationship with God. That's what's going to happen in the late land of Canaan. Because, brother, you begin to realize certain things. That throughout the whole book of Joshua, this land of Canaan. He's conquering one enemy at a time, and they're all different aspects of who you are. Sure it is. You get into Canaan, he conquers Achan, the troubler. You're the troubler. He conquers the five kings trying to establish their own kingdom. You're the kings. They go into hiding. You go into hiding. They unite with others. You unite with others. They conspire and join with the hybrid spiritual physical components at their strongest, the giants of Bashan. These are all what's going on in the book of Joshua. All are defeated, one at a time. They're different aspects of our flesh. We don't want to know who we really are. I'm telling you right now, brother, Adam went and hid himself. He hid his sin in his bosom. I had somebody tell me recently they were going to take a penalty kick in a soccer game. It wasn't an ordinary soccer game. It was a soccer game they were in. It mattered. It was a championship game. Done it many times, hundreds of times. Went to take the kick, and this person took the kick and missed miserably. Fell to the ground, crumbling, crying. Just broken down. How can I do this? Amen? And I asked this person, I said, well, go to that same field. Take a soccer ball. Put your cleats on. Kick it at the goal. Is your reaction the same? No. Ask somebody to beat a goalie. Kick it at the goalie. Is your reaction the same? No. Have some of your friends get around and let them watch and kick it. Is your reaction the same, whether you made it or didn't make it? Bring some other people that aren't necessarily close friends. Have a crowd there, amen? And then all of a sudden, you begin to realize, what were you afraid of? See, it wasn't missing the goal. There was a fear. Waldo was hiding. It had nothing to do with the results. It was internal. You're afraid of something. You're afraid of failure that other people become aware of.
Yeah, that's right.
Gee whiz, brother.
Let's see it.
Where's Waldo? There's Waldo. No, no, no. Here's Waldo. I'm afraid that people aren't going to like me. I'm afraid that they're going to discover I let them down. I'm afraid that they won't love me or accept me and come to understand someday when God said, exactly, that's Waldo. My love and acceptance isn't because of who you are.
Amen.
It's because of who I am. Amen? Brother, you're missing out on God's love and understanding the glorious feet of the gospel of the grace of God. Amen? Put those on and let Christ kick it every single time past the hands of the devil in front of everyone. You're not doing it. He is. And he kicks it and watch it in those soccer games. Goal! They scream it for a minute. Amen? Those soccer games. Every single time the goal of the gospel and those wonderful feet that wear it is for you to score victoriously. Letting him kick it. Amen, Brother John. I know what I'm talking about. To discover you can't fail in Jesus Christ. Waldo's afraid. God's going to show you things you're afraid of. It's keeping you from getting close to God. The antagonist in the storyline of Waldo, his name is called Oddlaw. If you read the Waldo series, amen. You know what's funny? It's just a scrambled up version of Waldo. The antagonist to Waldo is Waldo. Take it down a step further and you'll realize it says do law. You're afraid to fail. Afraid to let people down. Afraid God will be upset at you or so on and so. Not understanding, brother, charity never faileth. It's impossible to fail in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. He went and hid from God. God wants you to hide in Him. It's impossible to fail in Christ. Waldo doesn't understand that. That's why he always hides. He doesn't want to be spotted. Brother, it's his nature. to be detected and then introspected, dissected. God will show things in your life, brother, circumstances in your life. You get upset, angry, worried. Why? Why did you say those words? It's not the words. Why did you go on an eating binge? Why are you starving yourself? Why? It's not that you're doing those things. Why did you watch that show again? Why did you call somebody and say something you shouldn't? Why do you do what you do? It's not what you do. It's on the inside. Here's Waldo. And God will let this, it'll surface over and over in the circumstances. And you realize all of a sudden, brother, the events in the world, your work associates, the school cliques or church cliques, the impositions of time put upon you, that you all of a sudden you realize you lose control of these things. Amen? And you feel threatened and unable to do what you think you're supposed to be doing, and discovering that you do what you shouldn't do or don't want to do. It's a discovery of your flesh nature. Every person in here has to discover that. How can God bring you closer to Him until you first see where's Waldo? Amen? He's not bringing you closer to Him because of who you are. It's because of who He is. You and I have to see ourselves as God sees us. In Christ.
Amen.
Perfect. In Christ. Here's Waldo. Here's Waldo right here. But you can't hide in Canaan. Amen. You go right through and you all of a sudden you discover that's the courage that God wants Joshua to show the people that he's leading. It's not a boldness that's cocky or condescending. It's aware that the captain of the Lord's host is in front of us, leading us, fighting in our behalf, interceding for us. It discovers a deeper level of faith. It's not based on experience. It's based on promises. Where's Waldo? There's Waldo. Oh, brother. Never mind all the people. Here's Waldo. God's going to show you things in your life. And it's not that problem so much He wants you to solve. He wants you to understand, why is it a problem? Differently with you than other people. There's something about you that isn't giving God control of that. Amen. And you discover what you need to discover. Where's Waldo? Here's where you would never expect him to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And here's where I say, cheers, Waldo. Cheers. Let's have a toast. Because I know it's over. I know it's finished. Cheers, Waldo. You just fade like everybody else. And that's what's going to happen to the flesh. Wouldn't it be something if you sat in a church where a preacher understood that his responsibility to you was to prepare you to meet Jesus Christ at the judgment seat? Wouldn't that be something? If he would love to be your friend, but that goes far, far away. In his relationship with God, he knows he's accountable to point you in the right direction. And he's going to do that regardless of what you think. I don't claim to be any great man of God, but I understand that. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be all your friends as much as possible, just like Christ would. But I know my responsibility to God is to prepare you to meet Him at the judgment seat of Christ. You have to answer this question. Where's Waldo? He's not just out there. He's in here. Right here. He'll show you. Never mind what he shows you about me. That's there. He's going to show you about you. That's here. Amen? So that you can say, cheers, Waldo. God wants you to show you something. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's Waldo. Here's Waldo. Cheers, Waldo. All of a sudden you realize and you discover what's going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ is what's happening in your life right now. The life of Christ you have within you right now is no different than you're going to see when you get to glory land and you see Jesus Christ face to face. It's just that Waldo isn't letting Christ be seen. He's hiding. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, says, we're going to be judged in 1 Corinthians 3. He says in verse number 9, we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building according to the grace of God, which is given as a wise master builder. And he talks about this foundation. You have the foundation of Christ. And then he says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest.
Yeah.
The day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire of what sort it is. You know what those two, what sort it is? Verse 1. Verse 2. Verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. The judgment seat of Christ is going to reveal to you whether it's the spiritual man or the carnal man. That's what he's going to reveal to you. It's not what you do, it's why you do what you do. So now, it's not a... No, you discovered it's not about what you do. It's about what He does. Wonderful, wonderful truth to discover. We shall all... This is revival. Romans chapter 14. I'll read it to you. Romans 14, the Bible says in verse number 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall... So verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of who? Who shall every one of us give account of, brethren? Where's Waldo? You're going to give account of yourself.
Yeah.
Where's Waldo? He's in your life. Is he stealing joy from you, peace from you, love from you, long-suffering from you? These are the fruits of the Spirit. They don't belong to you. You can't produce them. And God will allow circumstances in your life to show you that. Yeah. Oh, you think you can? Then you wouldn't have needed me if you could. Amen, Brother John. Hiding with some bizarre achievement, making the Guinness World Book of Records. As meaningless as people that do in those books. You know how I talk, brother. We've already been through that, haven't we? Amen. Give me a break. 1 John chapter 3. Look, this is wonderful. Wonderful. You discover sin and sins. The difference. John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin.
Yep.
Hebrews chapter 10 talks about Christ, and he said the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sins. They can't purge your conscience. Christ deals with sins by dealing with sin. The law tries to do it the opposite way and show, with the purpose of showing you that you can't. You can't! You can't modify your behavior or discipline it to a point where you can live in a life where you, once again you could approach God and bathe in His love. You can't do it. It's impossible. 1 John chapter 3. Wonderful, wonderful passage as we're getting ready to come to an end. The Bible calls this body a body of sin. See, this is a body of sin. It's no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me. I'm carnal, sold under sin. See, it's my flesh. In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. To discover that I've been hiding so that others can't detect that it's not me who rides that white horse triumphantly to the glory of God. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother, if you try to, that's what the Antichrist does.
Yeah.
Waldo. Waldo. What's it say? Odd law. Go a step further. Do law. Same word, just unscrambled. In 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says, the end of the verse, verse 2, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope, where? In Him. Pure, this is what God wants you to see. What He's going to do with the judgment seat of Christ, He's trying to do right now. He's showing you, Waldo, the make-believe concept of spirituality. Where you're not conscious of the life of God. It's you trying to please God. Mm-hmm. Not understanding you can't. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. In whom I'm well pleased.
Yeah.
Brethren, discover you're in Him. He's working from a finished perspective. He shows you your flesh right now to show you that's you. That's Waldo. Own my righteousness. Based on being in Him, not based on who you are. How can He show you that? By showing you who you are. You're Waldo. Detect Him. Amen? Dissect Him. And then deject Him. Reject Him. Cheers, Waldo! It's over. He says, purify themselves even as he is pure. This is the condition that God... Look in verse 5. Ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Where are you? You're in him.
Amen.
The hope of glory. Christ in us. Us in Christ. Go ahead and take that wonderful cream and put it in the coffee, and then take that coffee and put it back in it, and take one cup, put it in another. That's what God does with you. Takes you, puts you in Christ. Takes Christ, puts you back in him. Takes Christ, puts you in him. It shows you that you're abiding. You're all one. Amen? It's all one. You're joined with Christ. He says that you take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. He that committed, verse 8, he that committed sin is of the devil. The devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth where? In him. He cannot. This is what you've got to see. Look at it in Ephesians 5, and we'll be closing. Do you realize in the entire book of Joshua, which is really nothing but an exposition in type of Israel's battle conquesting the land of Canaan, and Ephesians chapter 5, and the Christians' battle against the flesh, your sinful nature. One enemy at a time, it rises. And it's not what you do. God says, why did you do that? Why are you afraid? Why are you hiding? Why did you say that? Why did you do that? And it needs to be scrutinized. It says, I see it, God. I see what you're showing me. That's me. Now let me go deeper and understand why. I'm afraid. See? I'm running. I'm insecure in my relationship with God. I don't understand what belongs to me in Christ. I want others to think I'm something I'm not. I want to think I'm... It's Waldo, brother! Where's Waldo? There he is. Here he is. Cheers, Waldo! Because Jesus Christ has complete victory over you.
He's
given him power over all flesh, the Bible says. Ephesians chapter number 5. There is no clouds in the land of Canaan. Do you understand that? Faith is signified and illustrated by a cloud. We have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Brother, there's no cloud in Canaan. You should know what God's doing in your life. Amen? You don't have to understand the next level he brings you that's out of your control. You're discovering a higher understanding of faith. Amen? That's what you don't understand, but you should understand what he's doing. He's revealing your flesh. Where's Adam, where art thou? He's showing you flesh. He's showing you something about yourself that you're not letting go of, that's preventing him from bringing you back and realizing with his arms around you, I never stopped loving you. Amen? You've left your first love. Never lost it, because you can't lose it. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And brother, so the little child asks, why does Waldo always wear stripes? He doesn't want to be spotted. God doesn't want you to be spotted his way. He's going to eliminate Waldo at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what he's trying to do now, brother. Amen? But he doesn't eliminate Waldo by hiding from him. He eliminates Waldo by you hiding in Christ. He says in Ephesians chapter number 5, look at verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having... He presents it... Now, when he presents it to himself, look what he does with you. You're not independent of him. It's in 1 Peter. I'll read you this verse. I can see clearly now. The clouds are gone. I can see all those obstacles I've been putting in his way. Waldo! That's right. When there's a sin pops up in your life, God's showing you. That's something about you. I'm not angry and mad and ready to crush you. That's you, brother. You want victory? Then see it for what it is. It's your flesh. It's not someone else's. It's yours. Amen? Now let's deal with it. Cheers, Waldo. Break free through the power of the cross. He says in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Conquer Waldo. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 19. We've been redeemed, he says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You're supposed to see yourself as in him. You know how God sees everyone in here right now? in Christ. He sees you in Christ. You don't. You see your life running around this confused world, hiding. Why? Because you're not believing what God is saying about your flesh. He detects it, then He wants you to dissect, and He wants you to just get rid of it, brother. Die to it. Realize that that's not how God sees you. He shows you failures so that you can recognize and hold on to victory, which has nothing to do with your ability to have victory. Victory is based on Christ's victory, and He uses failure to teach you that. Amen? Why are you going to heaven? Who here has done anything to deserve to go to heaven based on what they've done? This is the basis and the grounds for your relationship with God. You'll come closer and deeper. The closer and the deeper you realize that. Amen? There's a song by another person wrote, Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon Bonaparte. Did you know he wrote a song? Napoleon Bonaparte Vandal wrote a song. Life's day is short. I soon shall go. To be with Him who loves me so. I see in the distance that shining shore, my beautiful, beautiful home. Who knows this song? Home, sweet home. Home, sweet home. Cheers, Waldo. Where I'll never roam. I see the light of that city so bright. My home, sweet home. Do you realize that Waldo's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ? And God's going to reveal him. They have this village in Florida. It was a famous village. In Bellany Station. Which is a plantation village. It went right, a railroad went right through it. It was a resort town. People flocked there. It was so wonderful back in the 1800s. It was named after a man who they loved, who was very beneficial to them. His name was Dr. Waldo. Things began to happen over time, and the reality of that place, it succumbed as all places do. It succumbed to nature. And it just faded. Just like everybody's flesh in here will someday. Dr. Waldo. Nobody wants to go there anymore. At the judgment seat of Christ, nobody's going to want to remember the flesh anymore. So why are you playing that game now? Where's Waldo? That's what's keeping you from having a closer, simple walk with God. I just ask, Lord, that you would use this lesson driving home the victory that belongs to us in Christ, having nothing to do with us but Christ. Lord, I pray that every person in here will realize Waldo isn't hiding on the outside, he's hiding on the inside. And that you're dealing with all of us as individuals, preparing us for the wonderful day when we meet you and the spots are gone. And we don't have to hide from them. They're dealt with by the precious blood of Christ, not just stripes, but completely we've been washed. And I thank you for that and pray that people here would understand the victory song and the triumph that belongs to every son of God in here, every child of God born by your Spirit. I pray, Lord, so that there will be greater peace and joy in a fellowship with you. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen,
brethren.